everybody, I'm welcoming you today to the video that I'm filming in Poland, in the forest in Poland. This is filmed in April. I think I'm gonna put this video out a bit later. So so I'm not in Poland anymore if you are when you see this video. I'm here visiting my parents. It's beautiful. I love to be in the Polish forest. Actually, I started to appreciate them much more once I left the country about 20 years ago. But they are just lovely and charming and amazing and mystical and magical. So here I am. Today, I wanted to share with you some ideas and some thoughts and some clarifications about the recent concepts about the soul video that I made just prior to this video. So let's start. First, the soul, as it was explained, is a holographic fragment of the source or the unified field. As it is a fractal, holographic fractal of the source, it contains all the characteristics and the qualities of the source itself. This means that we ourselves have all the qualities of the source. We are the source, we are it. We are the unified field. There is no separation as the soul and the source. Point number two is that the soul retains its identity. Many people always ask, do we lose our memory? Do we lose our identity after we die, for example? So as we are learning from Svaru, yes, the soul retains its identity. Actually, and this is something I haven't considered before with those words, soul is actually something that is built. That is built as being constructed throughout the incarnations, not just this one and then it disappears and you become a completely different person, but actually you retain your experiences, your points of attention. That's very important in the terms of your frequency, points of attention, your perceptions, your values, your preferences, opinions, interpretations. Everything is retained. Everything is part of your identity, soul, consciousness. And it grows. It's something that continues expanding. And it's part of you. The point of attention that you have on the basis of all these different accumulated experiences will determine your future incarnation. Because yes, it's your soul is a signal, and the signal will be directed towards a new experience based on where it was focused in the prior incarnation. That's why it is very important to always be in touch with oneself and auto-program oneself with the right ideas. Right ideas. They're ideas that you feel are right to you at every given moment. Here, I never really perceived it that the soul is something that we construct in this way. But actually, I think I felt it on a very intuitive level. All kinds of animals here. I think I've always felt it on an intuitive level because I've always sensed this desire and this calling to accumulate experiences and to expose myself to all these different interactions with life on all different levels, because I felt I was being expanded throughout the process. I felt I was picking up pieces of myself through every single interaction with every single experience. And it's amazing when you like really stop to think about this and consciously see it being absorbed by your soul. It's like when I see this, let's take something else, this leaf. Even this leaf itself, the interaction with this leaf right now, I'm absorbing it as part of myself. It is part of myself, but even throughout the interaction, it's like I'm growing and I'm expanding and I'm being constructed. It's amazing. So in a way, I did always feel that. I can even say that I felt it to such a degree that I was even exposing my dog to all kinds of experiences. I had a husky named Shanti. She's dead now, it's okay, but she was with me for 9 years, and I felt drawn to be taking her on all kinds of adventures because I felt I'm contributing to herself, to her soul. Like I was feeding her with all these different stimuli and experiences, and I could actually almost literally sense her soul growing throughout the interaction with those experiences. So I think in a way I've always sensed that, that the soul is something that grows, and you keep adding new elements to your soul. Exciting. Now, we talked in the video about the difference between the soul and the consciousness, soul and the mind. We haven't mentioned the difference between soul and spirit, and I know some people in the Spanish channel have been asking me about the difference between soul and the spirit. So I looked for the information about the spirit, if Svaru mentioned anything about it, and yes, some time ago we had a very short discussion about this conversation, and this is what Svaru said in the topic. She says that here again we have the problem with terminology, the terms, the language, because the definition might change depending on your personal interpretation. Because all these words, consciousness, soul, spirit, it all depends on how you perceive it, how you feel it. Spirit, for Svaru, is something vague, more general, and it's used for many things, like, for example, ghosts. Yeah, the ghosts are also spirits. Also, alcohol. We call alcohol spirits. So it can be applied to many different things. And the soul, for Svaru, is something more specific. More specific. So I think this is this goes to the origin of the word, maybe, perhaps. Yeah, it's some kind of, comes from inspiration. It has to do with the inspiration. Something gives you new creative ideas. So the spirit could be applied to many things. Soul is more specific. So that's why Svaru chooses the word soul, Atma. Now, when we talked about the difference between the mind and soul, this was a little bit more difficult and subtle to grasp. Let me see if I can try to summarize the main points of how I perceive it, according to what Svaru said. The mind, for Svaru, is a programmable part of yourself. In a way, everything is programming. This is very important. Everything is programming. Even if you are interacting with the stick, okay, or the leaf, the fact that you are perceiving this as a stick and the fact that you are perceiving this soup of energy and ether as this leaf, this is also a programmed perception. But in a way, it is auto-programming from the higher level, from the etheric soul level, where we have decided to interpret this mix of atoms in the form of the leaf. It is programming. Everything is programming. However, there is a difference. There is a desired auto-programming of the soul, and then there is this what I would call subconscious programming coming from all kinds of not desired places and causing not desirable reactions and triggered responses. And this is what Svaru means here by the mind. They cause, like I said, not desired reactions, not understood reactions. It's where you are not aligned with your soul, with your soul consciousness. On the contrary, your soul is kind of auto-programming itself, is where it is aligned with the soul consciousness. It's conscious of the programming. There is no conflict, there is no problem, there is no resistance. Right now, the majority of us operates on the subconscious mind level, pre-programmed ideas, and all these ideas are always fighting with one another, causing all kinds of internal noise. So freeing your mind, it means, according to what I understand here, is to go beyond your pre-programmed ideas and interpretations, not desired interpretations, not desired programming. Transcend that, be free, realize that you are source and you are beyond that duality. Be aware of the programming and choose consciously, be in touch with our soul programming, not so much with our mind, subconscious mind, lower programming. Be aware of the level of yourself from the higher plane where you are, the unified field, and at the same time be in the fragmented sense of yourself, which is also a useful state to be in, something that I will explain at the end of the video. Okay, the next thing that I really loved, and I haven't really looked at it this way, but I think I've always sensed it also, and I'll explain why, is when she said that the evil in the higher planes doesn't really exist because it is seen, it would be seen as auto-destructive. Evil is perceived as the tendency of the self to auto-destruct itself, because from the higher level you know that the other fragmented part of another being is you, is also you. The borders between the selves, you and another person, you and another entity, are being blurred, are becoming thinner, and you realize everything's part of yourself. So you don't have the tendency to hurt or destruct the other you, because you know you are doing the damage to yourself. I've never really seen it this way, but I think I have sensed it. And by that, I mean that I've always been quite sensitive to seeing violence. Like, for example, when I see two people hurting each other or hitting each other. I remember I saw two guys fighting outside of the bar some time ago, 10 years ago. And one of them was down, the other one was on top of him, and he was hitting him in the face. I really felt something very profound inside of me. It was a conflict. It was a very strange internal conflict of not comprehending how it is possible that one expression of life, one person, which is expression of life, can be doing damage to the other expression of life throughout the other person. Life being both of them at the same time. Life is expressing itself through the variety of beings, but it's the same life, it's the same source, it's the same field. And how can one expression of life be causing damage and hurting another expression of life itself? It just seemed so weird to me, so unnatural, so alien. I didn't understand it, felt very strange. So I love that when she said that the evil is actually a tendency to auto-destruct yourself. Okay, and going back to the soul and how it constructs itself and why it is useful to be in a limited, fragmented state. Limited, illusorily. It's an illusion that we are limited, but in a way we are. Yes, it's a delusion, but you know, it's the illusion done on purpose. It has its utility. It has its utility to be fragmented. And as Svaru said, it is, you know, to have the contrast of experiences. So throughout those contrasts, you can go picking up preferences and identities and your own values and your own perceptions and understandings of things and of yourself. So you can keep constructing yourself according to those fragmented experiences of yourself throughout the contrasts of experiences. But something I would add to this too. I feel like the utility of being fragmented is in the fact that actually it gives the fragmented self a sense of purpose. A sense of purpose in what it's doing and what its life is about. Imagine that you suddenly have reached a state of illumination where you feel you are all one. By the way, it is possible, yes. But it is also useful to be aware of the fragmented self at the same time, not just completely disappear into oneness. Because if you did that, if you suddenly became aware of all use of everything that has played out already in life, that is being played out, that all possible scenarios are being played out, all possible negative, positive experiences have already happened, they have been accomplished, they will be, they are being accomplished. At the same time, the sense of purpose in what we are doing at this fragmented line of ourself would be in a way lost. So the self, in order to move on and pick up experiences and construct itself, needs to be fragmented, needs to be in a state of apparent limitation. I feel like the fragmented consciousness, fragmented sense of consciousness, because it's not really fragmented consciousness, it's a fragmented sense of consciousness from within your point of attention, has the thrill, has the thrill of being fragmented in a way. It enjoys this. Otherwise, it wouldn't have manifested it. It has the sense of fascination. I think it's enjoying, and it's acquiring a sense of fulfillment throughout this whole process of being fragmented and being one at the same time. And you know, I'm wondering, I don't know exactly its purpose. I don't know if Zbaru knows exactly the purpose of the soul being fragmented in millions of possible scenarios, apart from the fact that it enjoys having the experience, accumulating the experience and adding on to itself, so it can know itself better. Beyond that, it's a mystery. It's a mystery of the source itself. Which, us being source ourselves, the answers are somewhere deep inside. However, you know, it's difficult to have the access. Maybe even the access to those answers is auto-programmed by the source itself. Like I said, if we had all the answers, then, you know, the sense of purpose of the journey would be somehow blurred out and maybe not even possible. I don't know exactly what is the purpose of the source being fragmented in millions of possible scenarios being played out at the same time. I don't know what the source is getting from it exactly, and what it does with what it picks up throughout this process. What does it do? Yeah, okay, because okay, I understand why it does that. Yeah, because it's like, I understand why it might be doing it. I understand the process. But then what? Where does it go with all this acquired wisdom and experiences and accumulated information? It's very interesting. Okay, I'm gonna stop now because I'm becoming very metaphysical at this point, which is nothing wrong about it in itself, but I feel like I reached a point where I feel stuck. I don't think I can break through the platform anymore, and I can't get any more answers at this point. It's something to be contemplated on for sure and meditated on. Thank you so much for watching. I think I have nothing more to add at this point. The next video, I don't remember what the next video will be, so I won't be able to tell you now. But thank you very much. I'm sending you lots of love and greetings and hugs from Poland, from this beautiful enchanting forest. And I will see you next time, of course. See you and thank you. Bye!